clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh!
Hello and welcome to the NSC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay and Buster, we'll look back on yesterday's exciting 4-3 victory over Dundee. We'll look ahead to next week's clash with St Mirren. We'll discuss Jake Hasty and his decision to play football elsewhere. And we'll possibly show a hell of a lot of love for David Turnbull. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers.
Jay, I'll start with yourself. And yesterday's game certainly wasn't your typical end-of-season affair. We talked last week about the fact that Dundee would be coming to Fir Park, fighting for their lives, and they would need a result. They certainly contributed to what was a fantastic game of football. And in the end, we managed to win it with the last kick of the ball. A very enjoyable encounter.
Yeah, that's it. I think these kind of when you're in the position we're in, and of course we're still kind of challenging for seventh, and you would like to think that is... still a little bit of a motivation for the players and management. But by and large, I think we all kind of accept that the season's petering out a wee bit, and you're kind of going along to these games maybe out of a sense of duty, maybe out of, you know, habit, and also maybe to see your pals. But by and large, you're not really expecting, you know, your expectations are pretty low. I think if we'd turned up yesterday and been served up a really dire, drab, you know, maybe 1-0 win or even a 0-0, you would have went away maybe not surprised, because we're perhaps starting to down tools a little bit. And instead, we pretty much get served up one of, if not the most entertaining games of the season. It had absolutely everything. It was end-to-end, even in terms of the actual goals themselves. You know, Dundee scored, we scored, Dundee scored, we scored, then we scored, Dundee score. You know, penalties, one penalty and then a phantom penalty, a red card. You know, it was great to obviously see a debut for Jamie Semple. I know it was really late on, but, you know, he contributes to the goal. It was some actually really good goals during the game. So as far as a 90 minutes of football goes, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And that's, you know, a really welcome surprise to get, because as I said, you go along with these games thinking it's maybe going to be, you know, a case of maybe 20, 25 minutes in, starting to wish you were elsewhere. You know, maybe a training game kind of feel to it. And it just wasn't that at all. And, you know, I think even the fact that the whole, I'm sure we'll talk about it in a bit, but the whole kind of penalty debacle with David Turnbull originally, I think even added a little bit of spice to it, so that when we did score injury time winner, there were like proper scenes for a game that was largely meaningless. So yeah, as far as, you know, one of the last few games of the season that allegedly doesn't mean a great deal to us, it was absolutely brilliant.
Plus, that was like a basketball game at times, wasn't it? The kind of the scoring pattern, it just seemed like in every attack at a stage there was a goal. We obviously battled back from behind in two occasions. Then Dundee did the same to ourselves in the second half. The defending, possibly one of the negatives, and what was a very good performance.
Yeah, just basically covered there. As you say, it was the defending is probably the only thing that you could scrutinise there, but I think when you get that, especially when you win, I think when you get, you know, that many goals in the game and it's, you get entertained like that, you tend to overlook these things. I did think it was, you know, just a sort of a bit of, I know Dundee were obviously battling for their survival, but I felt as if, you know, the Motherwell fans and maybe even the Motherwell team were sort of just playing out to the end of the season sort of thing. And then certainly the crowd, at least anyway, when, you know, the non-penalty goal kick thing happened, that seemed to add a wee bit of spice to it. And, you know, it certainly added to the last minute winner when we felt justified with that goal.
Yeah, well, we'll go on and discuss the refereeing performance, Jay. Kevin Clancy somehow managed to get 7 out of 10 in the Southie Mails scoring system. I don't know what boxes he ticked in terms of meriting a 7 out of 10 performance. I thought he was poor, and the game was littered with errors from the referee throughout. The sending off for Alex Rodriguez-Gorin, I would actually agree with it. I think that Guerin at times is a red card. He doesn't seem to understand what happens after you've been booked, because he just continued to lunge into the challenges, and eventually you are going to miss time one, and when that happens you're going to be sent off. But the penalty, to be overruled by your assistant, who is much further away from the incident than you are, and to get it so badly wrong after liaising with your assistant, is pretty unforgivable. It's a shocking bit of refereeing.
It's genuinely, I mean, we're obviously used to poor decisions by referees. The standard of Scottish refereeing is atrocious. So, you know, a referee making the wrong call or, you know, a controversial decision isn't, you know, a surprise by any means. But I think just that example of officiating from both the referee and the linesman, I've struggled to actually think of worse. I think it was absolutely horrendous. And it, you know, if that's the kind of thing that had happened in, you know, a televised game or perhaps a game involving Rangers or Celtic or a cup tie, maybe in the semis or something like that, then it would have been absolutely everywhere, and they would have been rightfully hammered. As it is, you know, it'll probably get swept under the carpet, and the fact that we went on to win probably adds to that. It'll probably be the kind of thing that doesn't really get picked up on. Obviously, it remains to be seen what goes on Sports Scene, whether they even mention it. But it was just absolutely farcical. You know, I suppose there's a debate to be had on whether it's a penalty in the first place. I think David Turnbull kind of shows just how, you know, I said last week about how he kind of, you know, is the Matrix and his ability to slow down the game. So to slow it down to the point where you can actually see the player sliding towards you and think, oh, I'll just pass it off his arm and get a penalty, kind of sums up, you know, just how much, you know, how quick or how far ahead of everybody else David Turnbull is in terms of, you know, how he sees the game and reads the game. So I suppose there's a debate there, as the fact that he passed it off the boy's arm a penalty, or is it not, because is it any different than someone, you know, lobbing it or kicking it off a player's hand if they're in a standing position? So there is a debate of whether it's a penalty in the first place, but once the penalty is given, that's it. The ball is quite clearly in play, and even then, once it takes the touch off the Dundee player, it then goes behind. So you're then looking that it's either a penalty or the referee maybe speaks to the linesman, decides, no, you know what, I was a bit quick there, I've gave a penalty, I haven't thought about it, it's not a penalty, so it's a corner. The idea that they give a by kick is just absolutely baffling. It's not out, it's not even close to being out. The linesman, where he is positioned, can't see whether it's out or not. So I am perhaps inclined to presume that maybe Clancy's given the penalty, decided very quickly after it's not a penalty, and then they've kind of maybe just had this show of giving a goal kick to try and get past the fact that they've given a terrible decision. But even then, just give the corner. There is absolutely no logic to it whatsoever. You know, it is absolutely baffling. There's not really a great deal of sense to it at all. As I said, is it a penalty, is it not? That's one thing. But it was just absolutely farcical. And I think Stephen Robinson even said the fact that we went on and won obviously, you know, completely takes the edge off it. But had that been a game that, you know, perhaps St Mirren or Accies were perhaps reliant on Dundee losing the game, maybe, you know, if it was a little bit tighter down there, and Dundee had held out to get a draw because that decision was made, that kind of serious implications on, you know, not just the teams playing in it, but the league as a whole. So I think it has to be highlighted because, yes, poor decisions happen, but that was just completely inept. That was, you know, you wouldn't even get that at amateur football. It was absolutely baffling. And for me, it's another argument as to why officials, particularly referees, should come out after games and explain what they're thinking is, because I don't think anybody on the planet can possibly, you know, accurately say what was going through their mind at that point, because it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
I'm pretty sure that it happened down south, actually, the kind of conversation between a referee and an assistant, where they were captured on film discussing the fact that neither of them had seen it. And that kind of, I think there's actually some weight in the argument that they almost concocted a story to cover up the fact that perhaps he got it wrong in the first instance. I guess, though, Buster, it did work out in the end, and we got on to win the game. Dundee, a very strange performance from them, considering they were battling for their lives. They were playing against 10 men for much of the second half. but they don't come out and try and win the game. In fact, one of their players was booked in the last 10 minutes for time wasting.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, scoring three goals away from home is no mean feat. So, you know, they certainly were, I suppose, up for it in some way. But as you say, when somebody was booked for time wasting, it reminded me a wee bit of Hamilton the week before as well, where, you know, until the last 5 minutes or so, you know, they were sort of time wasting as well. And I was thinking, you know, they've got something to play for here as well. We don't. But, you know, as you say, it was a strange game in general. It did have a sort of end of season sort of feel to it. Dundee, obviously, you know, buoyed on by the fact that they needed the points. But, again, it was just a completely strange game. And as you both said there, you know, the refereeing decisions were farcical at times. The only thing you probably did get right was sending off Corin Rodriguez. So I don't really know. The only thing I can really say about the referee thing as well is, you know, these guys are mic'd up. There must be some possible recording of the conversation these guys are having. You know, I don't know who the linesman was. I can't even mind the ref's name now, but he's obviously brought it to his attention, asked him to come over. You know, there must be a recording of the conversation they would have had, because going by the resulting goal kick, you can only imagine the linesman is saying, I know I was 60, 70 yards away, but I think that went out. And, you know, the referee was probably, 25 yards away. You know, he wouldn't have had an ideal view of it, but he'd have had a better view of it than the linesman, I suppose. So, you know, as I said, it won't cost much to put a recording device on these conversations that these guys have. And, you know, if they don't come out and speak to the press after these games, you know, you can at least maybe hear the conversations they're having. And then again, I suppose, you know, you mentioned the English thing, it sort of would prevent them from being like, I never seen that, let's just bullshit a story here.
Yeah, it was very odd, but the game obviously continued, Jay, and Jamie Semple comes on for his debut and is straight away involved, despite getting a 60-second cameo. He provided the assist for David Turnbull. The first one strikes the crossbar. The second one, he makes absolutely no mistake. And it's hard to downplay how much of a joy David Turnbull is to watch. Week in, week out, we're getting 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 performances. He must be on the radar of a number of clubs, but let's enjoy him while we've got him. And certainly we talked last week about his potential, and the sky is very much the limit for David Turnbull. I just love him.
Well, I won't go into too much detail this weekend. If anybody wants to go back and listen, they can hear all I had to say about David Turnbull on last week's podcast, including my claim that he'll be better than James McFadden. I mean, he's better than the current David Turnbull, the new, is better than the current James McFadden. And I do believe that in terms of technical ability, David Turnbull breaking through at the moment is miles ahead of James McFadden. When he was breaking through, James McFadden was that kind of wizard type, you know, stepovers, gallusness, good pass players. David Turnbull is just a different breed. He's an alien. He has the ability to,
so, you know, the last week he was better than James McFadden, this week he's an alien.
Aye, he has the ability to play football in slow motion. It is just absolutely incredible. And yeah, you know, it's one of those ones where we really, really need to, as football fans, enjoy him while he's here, because there is every chance he won't be here for long. When he does leave, I will be astonished if it isn't for our record, you know, transfer fee received. I think absolutely, you know, 2 million or above. We said last week again, you know, the likes of if Dundee can get 1.5 million for somebody like Jack Hendry, if Aberdeen can put, you know, ridiculous £10 million price tags on Scott McKenna, then David Turnbull should not be leaving Motherwell, you know, for a million or something like that. But, you know, thankfully at the moment he is our player. You know, will teams come in during the summer? Very possibly. But, you know, he's got a deal to 2021, and I think we can, you know, just enjoy him while he's here. I think he's that type of player now where, regardless of what's going on in terms of Motherwell's form, how the, you know, what we're playing for. You know, these last few games might seem meaningless, but actually just getting to go and see David Turnbull is worth the entry fee alone. And that's something that you very rarely get to say when you're a fan of a club like Motherwell. So yeah, he's absolutely phenomenal, and you know, the sky is absolutely the limit. I genuinely, you know, believe that he'll go on to, you know, be a Scotland regular, to have a far, you know, a fantastic career, possibly play at the very, very top level, because he has a reading of the game and a composure and just, you know, an all-round technical ability that is, you know, so, so rare, particularly in Scottish football.
Yeah, there's not really much you can add to that, Busta. You've actually, the first question I asked you, you went, Jay's basically covered it, so you basically tried to get out of answering it. Can you add anything to that?
No, not really, except for just repeating what you said. You know, there is a sort of a running joke, if you want, that, you know, it's any time David Turnbull gets the ball, it is like slow motion, it is like, you know, the Matrix, and it's unreal. As you mentioned earlier, you know, the wee sort of pause, seeing the defender sliding in and just played it off his hand as his hand was waving all over the place, brilliant. Even the winner yesterday, you know, he hits a first time shot that takes deflection, hits the bar, and without a hesitation or a panic on his bad foot, if you want, he just leathers the ball straight into the near enough the top corner. I don't think there's very many other people in the team who could have, first time, you know, taken that on a half volley, whatever it was, and leathered it straight into the goals. I know he was maybe only 9-10 yards out, but I reckon, you know, maybe 80% of the time, other people in the team are ballooning that into the stand, and that's the, it simplifies the ability that he's got, but that's, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg there, and I think that would be overlooked, the fact that he just took that so easily on his bad foot and weathered it straight into the goals. And it's these simple things like that, you know, that's where you start. Again, as Jay says, I wouldn't be surprised to see him seriously considered for any Scotland squads coming up in the next, you know, few months. When's the next Scotland game? Probably September or something like that.
Belgium in June.
Oh, well, there you go. I wouldn't be surprised if he's seriously considered. It might be a bit early for him, you know, to get into the squad, but I don't think any Motherwell fan would argue against it. You know, I've seen a couple of, obviously with the Jake Hastie situation, I've seen a couple of people on the internet having a back and forth with Rangers fans about how David Turnbull is the better of the two, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the typical old firm style Rangers fans were giving it a never heard him, don't you know what he looks like sort of pish. But, you know, as I say, I don't think MD, who has seen the boy play, would argue that, you know, he would be very well deserving of a consideration for the Scotland squad coming up then.
I certainly don't think we should be telling them about him, to be perfectly honest. I'm quite happy I'm staying off the grid, but it's just, I think the whole support is deeply in love with David Turnbull. There was a brilliant message I got earlier on. One of my mates was climbing a hill in Loch Ness. He was saying he was really struggling in his way up, but he was motivating himself by saying, hopefully David Turnbull's going to be up here when I get to the top of this hill and I'll be able to tell him I love him. He's on everyone's mind all the time.
Just in, as we mentioned, I know Jamie Semple coming on. As you say, he was only in the park for literally 90 seconds or something, but that absolutely delighted me as well. Just the fact that, you know, he had maybe three touches of the ball. I think he gave it away the first one, looked a wee bit nervy. He then chased it back, made a simple pass, and then his third sort of involvement in the game was then just to take his time and square it across the goals here. And just the whole sort of, you know, the Motherwell youth coming through, for him to come on, 90 seconds, make his debut, set up a goal. I don't know why, but I was just absolutely delighted for him. And it's great to see these young guys coming through, and, you know, hopefully guys like maybe Barry Maguire, who's out on loan, can come back and, you know, put in his own claim for a shot next season, a starting 11 shot next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jay, I suppose in a week where we've obviously seen it unofficially confirmed, I guess, that, that Jake Hastie will be moving to Rangers next season to have another youngster come into the team and get off to a good start. Of course, it's very hard to judge someone in 90 seconds of football, but as far as 90 seconds go, they were a pretty good 90 seconds.
Well, that's it. You know, I said last week about the Jamie Semple as the, you know, one of the players that we've all been kind of very familiar with over the last couple of years, despite still being very young. You know, just the nature of social media and the coverage at football clubs these days means that, you know, any fan of any football team who happens to be on Twitter or Facebook is kept fully up to date with the progress of all the young players. So Jamie Semple is a you know, a name that has been mentioned time and time again for years. So it's fantastic we've now reached the point where he is, you know, albeit a couple of minutes, but he's now on the fringes, he's now on the bench, and you would like to think that, you know, with three games remaining, he'll get a bit more game time. And then obviously it'll be decision time over the summer, whether he, you know, goes out on loan, remains in the first team squad. But yeah, it's great to just have that conveyor belt in place, you know, not overlooking the fact that James Scott also got his first goal for the club as well, which is will obviously be a massive, massive thing. So yeah, it's great. We're at a stage where, you know, Jake Hastie moves on and nobody really bats an eye because we've got, you know, one of, if not the best young prospects in David Turnbull and a whole host of other young players ready to make the step up.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a big point that Jim Scott obviously got his first goal buster, I've been saying for a while, you almost become more and more aware of it as the weeks go by and he's not found the target. We said he might need a bit of luck, and I guess that was the case. But good on the guy, and let's hope in these last three games of the season he can kick on and hopefully add a few more to his tally.
Yeah, I think, you know, that lone striker role, it's a bit of a thankless task unless you stick the ball in the net every so often. As you know, we seem to have really fun out through Curtis Main. You know, Curtis Main still got his critics, quite rightly so probably, but you know, he was running about like a blue arse fly, putting in a lot of good work, but because he wasn't sticking the ball in the net, you know, a lot of people were not really on his side of the defence, I suppose. But James Scott, he's come in, he's again put himself about, young boy doing pretty well, I would say, and you know, that's what you need to. That was a really sort of a weird goal, but that's what it takes, you know, and hopefully the next couple of games you can stick another one or two in the net. And as you say, I think he's one of the boys, you know, who come the summer, there'll be a decision made whether or not he's going to hang around and be part of the team, a part of the squad, or, you know, is it best for him maybe to go out and see if we can maybe, the way we did with Hastie, you know, get him game time elsewhere and hopefully see if he comes back a better player.
And we can't not talk about Jake Hastie. Well, I suppose we could, but we're not going to. I'm going to ask you about it. The game yesterday, he wasn't in the squad. I think we all would be pretty much agreed in the fact that he's not going to be our player from next season. We don't want him to do well with another Scottish Premiership club. So why should we play him? I don't think there's any getting away from the fact that Jake Hastie has had a... Is it a good 2019 so far? He came into the team with a bang and produced a number of good performances. I think his form has dipped as the speculation has mounted on his future. He's now obviously made his decision. He's going to a club that there will be a lot of competition for places, a lot of competition in his position as well. So it's going to be a challenge for Jake Hastie to get opportunities. He's made his decision now though, Buster, so they've just got to kind of part company and move on, basically.
Yeah. I think ourselves, like a lot of people who you talk to, got a bit bored of the whole situation, to be fair. You know, I think it maybe leaves a wee bit of a bitter taste because when it first came about, he said, this is where I want to be. I'm playing football. I'm enjoying myself. So I'd like to stay here. Now, I know that's, you know, that's bread and butter for these sort of questions, but you know, a lot of people tend to believe these things when footballers say them. So the fact that he dallied and dallied, there was rumours here and there. lot of people just sort of got bored there pretty quickly. I wish him well, to be fair. I know you say we don't want him to do well at non Scottish Premiership teams, but I couldn't really care less. If he does well, fair enough, you know, all the best to him. But we definitely should, he should definitely not be involved in our squads going forward. He's not going to be our player. There's people like Jamie Semple, for example, who we want to see develop, we want to see him become a better player for Motherwell. So, you know, if, for example, yesterday Hasty was on the bench, Hasty could have been the guy who was coming on there instead of Semple. You know, that's not something that I would have liked to have seen yesterday. So definitely shouldn't he be in the squad going forward. Might sound a bit harsh, I know you will probably agree with me, but you know, some people will be saying, ah, that's life, he's a footballer, that's what they do. But you know, as I say, he's not going to be a Motherwell player. I don't really care going forward, so I'd rather see guys like Semple in there. There's also the chat that quite a few other players are out of contract. You know, if they decide to leave, you know, should they be played? I would probably say no. Same with him. I think the only exception to the rule in my eyes would be maybe Chris Cadden. If Chris Cadden suddenly comes out and says that he signed a contract elsewhere, I'd give him a wee sort of, he's a longest serving player, so I'd give him a wee sort of farewell. You know, he's been a great player for us for the last few years, so you know, that's the only one I maybe see as an exception to the rule, but definitely Jake Hasty should not be involved going forward, no.
So with that being said, would you go for the same theory with young Stuart McKinstry, who obviously has grown up a Motherwell supporter, he's brought in the club, a reported £150,000 with that move to Leeds, potentially more, should it be a success down south? It would almost be a kind of boyhood dream to run out on for Park Pitch as a Motherwell player for the first team. So it's a difficult one, isn't it?
Well,
really?
To be fair, we know the family there, so I would like to contradict myself something awful and say, give him 20 minutes in the last game of the season.
I don't really see how the two are comparable. To be fair, Stuart McKinstry isn't he in the first team squad?
Yeah, a fair point, but you know, to be fair, if it came yet, I would say I give him 20 minutes. You know, let him be a Motherwell.
Be in the first team squad previously, though. So
yeah,
aye, but I mean, no, I would be against that. I mean, it's not, you know, the Dream Foundation, you know, Make a Wish Foundation. We're not here to dish out, you know, appearances because it's a dream come true. All the best to Stuart McKinstry. He's obviously taking his chance, but no, we shouldn't be giving him first team appearances at Motherwell. No.
You're never getting served in Cobb 100 again.
I would like to say that I would like him to be played in the last three games, actually, so I could serve in front of both of you. Next week, St Mirren visit for part of our second home game on the spin. The results yesterday very much went our way. There was a late goal for Ackies against Livingston. There was a late goal for St Mirren against, it's an absolute cracking goal as well. The boy Mullen scores for St Mirren.
Oh, was it?
Against Johnston. The table now looks, we're sitting in eighth, a point behind St Johnston. But going into injury time, it was looking like Livingston would jump ahead of us. St Johnston were going to stretch further ahead of us. That's not been the case though, Jay. And hopefully, we can continue our momentum that we built up yesterday, get another 3 points. And it will be looking pretty good going into the game at McDermott Park as a battle for seventh place.
That's it. I mean, I mentioned earlier the whole idea about seventh. I mean, yeah, it's not, you know, no football player starts their career looking to, you know, finish seventh. It's not this fantastic achievement, but it is still something to aim for. So you'd like to think that
we've got, isn't it?
Yeah, so you'd like to think that it's something that they're motivated about. But, you know, I think overall, I thought, you know, the game at Ackies, I thought we were very flat and, you know, pretty poor largely. And I thought the game yesterday, although I thought we showed great determination, particularly with 10 men to you know, continue battling and to get the win overall, you know, conceding 3 goals to a terrible Dundee side isn't great. So I still think there are slight question marks over, I don't think we've downed tools, but I think we've started to. So whether we can, you know, put off the downing of tools for another couple of weeks to try and really kind of put the pressure on St Johnstone, because it would be great to finish seventh. I think, you know, it would do our season, or it would do our form, at least since the turn of the year, a bit of a disservice if we don't finish seventh, because, you know, for me, the way we've played by and large since Hogmanay, I would argue we're a top six side, and we're just not there because of the form prior to 2019. So to finish anywhere other than seventh, I think would be a disservice to how we've played recently. So just hopefully that, particularly, as I said earlier, just the kind of the injustice perhaps of not getting that penalty and then battling with 10 men, getting that win. Hopefully if there was any apathy starting to creep in, or the tools were starting to get downed, maybe that'll, you know, inject a little bit of energy and a bit of enthusiasm again, and we can really get into these last three games and really challenge for seventh place and try and treat it like an achievement. It might not be a fantastic achievement. It might not be the kind of thing that a football player is going to put in their CV or even remember in 10, 15 years, but let's treat it like a target, and it's very much an achievable target. And, you know, you would go into the game against St Mirren on Saturday, you know, hoping we can pick up another 3 points against another relatively poor side.
Do you know what, Buster? I really enjoyed the kind of idea that we basically relegated Dundee yesterday. I thrive in misery, so I want to see us put St Mirren right in the shit next week, and hopefully we can do so. We've got a wee bit of retribution to get on them for the last game at Fir Park. They came away with a scrappy 1-0 win, but we've won twice at St Mirren Park this season. They've battled at the bottom, and they managed to kind of just about keep their hopes of avoiding the playoff alive. So it's a big game for them. But let's just concentrate on ourselves and go out and scud them.
Yeah, as a football fans, if you're not winning, or if you're not winning trophies, I suppose maybe, a lot of them seem to feed off other teams' failures. So I get what you're saying there. Having said that though, I think if we beat them, you know, it might help Hamilton Accies, which I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, because I don't really care for Hamilton, but it's right across the water and you can get there pretty easily for a decent away day. There's a few decent pubs in Hamilton. So, 50-50 on...
I could happily just actually forgo going to Hamilton and just go or go to Accies and just go to the pub, though. I don't think we need to go hand in hand here.
That's fair enough, actually. That's a good point. It's not as if it's a million miles away. no, but as a... You know what? As a football and I'm a Lowell fan, I won't be there, but I want to be lying in the sun watching my wee one-off subscription to MFC TV and hoping we win 5 or 6-0. That's what I hope happens.
As do I. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. A wee bit shorter than last week, but that wouldn't be very difficult. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers.
No bother. Cheers.
You've been listening to the MSC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.